Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about religion. We've been holding this topic off for so long. I've been putting it in a lot of conversations, and so many people said, oh, we don't want to talk about that. We're afraid. It's scary. We don't want to offend people. Everybody has their beliefs. It's almost just as bad as politics these days. It seems like they've all got themselves all wrapped up in it. Here's the label. If you want to be able to come to my side, you can be my followers. Is that really what religion is all about? Is it truly what about the path to God is all about? What is our soul and our spiritual life? Have we just thrown away all the books and said, oh, I don't need that anymore, you know? I'm no big deal. I don't go to church anymore. I don't need the catechism, and I don't have to worry about it. I got things under control. But you come back several decades later, people say, you know, I have a spiritual path. Isn't that what we're talking about? Is all of the dogma and all of the fanfare and all of the rituals that are out there, maybe just the purpose is to find an intention in our soul for something greater than self. Can it be that simple? Wow, what about all the stakeholders? Today my guest is David Waddell. His book is Worship Wars, The Kings Lead the Battle to Spirit and Truth. David, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's my honor, Dr. Jeanette. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, you're so welcome. So I have a question for you, David. So you've explored all of these religions in the South, and I mean, you know, I live in the South myself, so everything from Voodooan up to Catholics to be able to, I mean, this is a Catholic state, you mm-hmm. know. Everything exists here, you know, Baptist, everything. And what everybody believes is that whatever is for you today will work. So in essence, if you have that true sense of spirit and self within you, you have the intention with which you're conducting and being able to create your moments in that which you pray to, can you not do it in a Baptist church, in a Catholic church next week, in a Jewish synagogue next week, and just as you said with your father, out on a boat the following week? Is it not all the same, and it's just how would you like to dress it up? And who does the dressing up even matter to?
Yes, yes. I had I called it a Worship Wars moment. Three straight weeks, I went to a church here in Oxford where the preacher is piped in by video from Jackson, Mississippi. It's got all the bells and whistles. Everything was great performance. It's, you know, mm-hmm. like top level. Just bam, good stuff.
Right.
The next week, I went to my youngest son's church because he was preaching. He is studying to be a Lutheran minister. And so it was very high liturgical, reading from scripts, singing from hymn books rather than looking on a screen. And it was perfect. And then the next week, I'm back at my regular church, and they've got barn boards on the back of the worship center wall, and the preacher's in blue jeans and a polo shirt. And I tell people the two things that are similar in all three cases, number one, worship happened.
Right.
And number two, I will always start singing before I'm supposed to in any kind of song. I can't follow the notes, Dr. Jeanette. No matter what I try, I'll... And, you know, if you sing out loud, everyone turns around and they know you've messed up.
But, absolutely.
Which is also a beautiful part of worship because mess-ups happen. But those are three different spots. But to make your point, I could have been in a synagogue. I could have been in a mosque. I could have been in a Catholic church. Worship is about the spirit. It's about my attitude. If I go in thinking this is going to be boring or bad, it will be boring or bad.
Right.
If I go in and open myself up, the leader may be talking about Allah, but what I'm hearing is about God.
And
so no, the sight doesn't matter. And I think if we expressed more love to those that are in the synagogues and the mosque and the Catholic Church and everything, we'd find out we have a whole lot more in common than we do separate.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think the church did its great job of starting to create even separation within itself. In the 1980s, I can remember as a dental hygienist at the time, and that was the time I lived in New Orleans, and we were have a very large gay community here, and AIDS was pretty much rampant here mm-hmm. before it was on the cover of Time magazine in New York. So we all knew it. And then when it came out, I was also pregnant at the time, and a doctor had called and says, this patient, did you see him? And I'm like, yeah, I saw him like the past every 2 weeks or the past 2 months because he had a problem. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, he's full-blown AIDS. And I'm going, yeah, okay. We never wore protection. We didn't wear gloves. We didn't have masks on.
Yeah.
We had our regular clothes on, and people just about want to turn over in their grave when they hear that. But that's how things were in the 70s,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And I think when we look back at that, that was when the church decided to say, there's no more touching in church.
Yeah.
Do you remember? And then they started to say there's no touching or anything. And then they took away a lot of the things that the priest would have to touch you or you would touch them. And it really set it up to be able to be okay to have us disconnected.
Right.
And it even went further because every time, you know, the flu came along, oh, everybody, it's almost like you got to wear your mask to go
mm-hmm.
to church,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And it's, how did we get to fear the human existence? And isn't that a fear of the human existence?
It really is. And even as you were talking, Dr. Jeanette, I thought about biblical stories where Jesus walked right up to a leper and touched
yes.
him. And that
yes.
was the most contagious, deadly disease they had at the time.
Right.
And it just didn't bother him. And some people would say, well, but he was the Son of God, so it wouldn't hurt him. Yeah, he was also fully man. He could have contracted it without any trouble. And
but you know what you just said that was so key?
Yes.
Is that that he was the He was, what did you say about God? He was what?
He was also fully man.
No, but you also said he was what before
he
that?
He was God.
Yes. However, aren't we in this day and age knowing that we are all one of God now?
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yes.
There is the key that I can tell you 99.9% of the people forget. So in essence, why could we not also do that?
Yes.
Why do we also create this false sense of whatever? And can we say that our leaders and those people out there who were supposed to be able to also profess to be of God, of his essence, and in close communication with him, have now put up this big wall and said, oh, not me, not me. Who are they?
Yeah. It's become almost where the church is more of a safe haven than it is a place to influence and change the world.
Right.
So, you know, if you have a flu, stay home. If you have AIDS, you know.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't come here.
Right.
And you know, I understand, you know, when I go to the dentist now, they wear the gloves, they wear the mask. I understand all that kind of stuff. But you know what? In church, if somebody comes up to hug me,
yeah,
let's go. You know. And a lot of people, though, are protecting themselves. They'll say, I mean, or they're protecting others. They'll say, I'm not going to shake your hand today because I've got this bad cold. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'll do a fist bump with you. You know, if
right.
I catch a cold off my knuckles, then
mm-hmm.
I probably would have caught it off you just breathing in the same area as me. And
mm-hmm.
But I think also in I think there's a whole lot of healing that comes from our spirit. So if I greet someone that's ill, those germs don't always have the effect on me.
Correct.
If I'm going in the right spirit, if I'm going in
Correct.
The right attitude.
Yep. I think it's all about what is your inner core about? Just as when we saw, you know, with 9/11, what was their core about? Everyone rushed to it. They didn't think about it.
Yeah.
They didn't think
yeah.
anything about anything. They just did it. And they knew that even if they only had 10 years since then or 20 or if they can live another 30, that every time they share their story and their message, they are again seeding and creating the ripple effect of we believe in the human spirit,
yes,
in the human soul, in a God space, that God is going to take care of us.
Yes.
And I think if you can just take that core message and say, whatever shows up in this human existence, right on, because that's it. Don't worry about all the other stuff. But if you want to dance in that other stuff, go ahead. But, you know, it's this is what it's about, yes?
Yeah. I would agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah. And, you know, David, in closing, we can say also, too, that there's so many fights within the religions for stake in the territory.
Yes.
You know, we look at it here, you know, the population is down since Katrina. And, you know, when they have events around town, there's more and more every year. And they say, why is there only like, instead of having 30,000 people, why don't we only have about 5,000? And it's like, well, you know, how many pieces of the pie do you want? There's only so much a population.
Yes.
Don't you think also, too, that religions tend to do that?
Yes. Yes, I do. The way I'm taking this is
mm-hmm.
that we judge our success by how many people are coming.
Right.
Rather than what kind of change is happening in people's lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
don't you think it's also, too, that they have to have vested interest to keep their own self alive?
Very much so. Very much so. Because they become, I've heard it put this way, so this is not original with me. The difference is whether a church is an organism or an organization.
Right, right.
An organism is a living, breathing thing. So the lack of money is not going to kill it. The lack of
right.
attendance. You know, if three people show up in an organism, you pump blood through it.
Mm-hmm.
An organization, however, has to have a chart, an organizational chart, and there's layers of leadership and there's protocol. And I'll say it this way. I think sometimes what's wrong with our faith is that we've businessed it too much.
Right, right.
Or we even try to make people Americans first and then followers of Jesus.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
we want them to say the pledge and then they can recite the Lord's Prayer.
Right.
And, you know, there's a difference in patriotism and faith. I know God protects our country. I'm not meaning to get into that realm.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying that my faith is in God. My faith is not in our military or our politics or our
right.
presidency or our Congress. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have to place it in the right place. But the organization thing, I think, is what gets a lot of churches in trouble. And even still, if I can expound on that, as an organization,
mm-hmm.
that's where some of those fights come in. Are
right.
we going to worship with choruses or are we going to worship with traditional hymns? Is it going to be on a screen? Is it going to be out of a hymn book? Do
right.
I have to wear a suit or can I come in short pants?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to judge you if I feel one way and you'd feel the other. And I've told folks I'll be happy when churches get back to arguing about the color of the carpet in the worship
right.
center rather than the worship style.
Right. Don't you think also, too, David, that it's about being able to say, are we going to go forward in expanding our knowing of God in our hearts, or are we going to continue to regulate him based upon the history of the past?
Wow. That's powerful. And yes, I agree with that. I'm just kind of stumped for words because that's really good.
Well, you know, I think
when someone says something really wise, just nod your head.
That's right. Be silent. Silence is golden. But you know, David, that really takes us and leads us right up to your book, Worship Wars, because I think as people are having these kind of confrontations in their home where someone says, I'm looking to expand myself, and others are saying, no, this is the way we always do it. This
yeah.
is the way it will be done. Thy will be done. and they come about it. I think your book is a fantastic dissertation kind of idea that just says, let's go on a journey. I don't know what it is. You can laugh. You can cry in your book. You could see gospel verses.
Yeah.
You could see funny stories. I love about the tacos. I think that's really great. And you talked about the cheese. And I think that's just the idea of being able to say, can we just open ourselves and just breathe for a minute? I mean, like, let that thing off of your back.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to carry so many monkeys anymore. You know, they can run. They've got legs. Leave them go, you know?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Enjoy the freedom, the spirit. I mean, Jesus himself said, my yoke is easy. It's not one to drag you down. Let go, you know? Just enjoy.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, and of course, the way I'm wired, I can't do things like this without humor, so I tell the stories, and a whole bunch of them are on myself. But someone said, why are you so hard on yourself? I said, well, if you can't have a self-deprecating humor about yourself, who can you have one on?
Yeah, but, it's just enjoy the journey. I mean, what's the
exactly.
point, right?
I mean, I can look in the mirror and say, I know I'm okay because God loves me, but boy, you are silly sometimes.
Right. Or those jeans are really tight.
Yeah. Or does this shirt make me look fat? No, it's the extra 10 pounds on my gut that's doing that.
I know. Just before we did this call, I had ordered a pair of jeans and I put them on and I said, took them out and I said, whoa, these jeans look like ones from high school and I'm in my 60s, right? I set them down and I didn't touch them again. 2 or 3 hours later, I picked them up and I said, let's just give these a shot. And I pulled them on and I said, ooh, we poured into those real good. They are tighter than sin. But then I turned around and I said, you know what? I like them tight. I'm good with me. I'm all right for today.
There you go. I worked with a pastor once that his wife came home and said she'd bought a new dress.
Yeah.
And he said, baby, you should have just looked at that dress. And she said, well, when I tried it on, it looked so good. He said, baby, you should have just said, get thee behind me, Satan. And she said, I did. And he said, ooh, it looks good from back here, too.
Gosh. Yeah, and that's the truth. It's like, how can we just let ourselves be okay, right?
I know. Because, you know, if you haven't fouled up or goofed up somewhere in your life, be careful when you leave the office today.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm telling you, it's just, you know, it's just about being free to the thoughts and the ideas that come around, you know.
Yes.
And stop judging yourself. I mean, God is not standing up there like the nuns were with his yardstick. You know,
the nuns
have gone away, and so have yardsticks. I haven't seen either one of those for a few decades now.
And I'm thankful for that because those things hurt when they hit the hands.
Oh, I know. I'm left-handed, and they used to make me write right-handed in school, and they always would hit my hand, you know, because that was how it was then. It was interesting.
Gosh. That's so wild.
I'm telling you, the things we endure, but wasn't it fun?
I know.
But you know what? You can always take something from something and see where it took you. When I learned dental hygiene, again, I had to learn right-handed because that's the way the chairs were sitting.
Oh.
The day I got out of dental hygiene school, I used both hands to be able to clean people's teeth.
How about that?
I'm telling you.
I love it.
So I'll tell you. Always take whatever shows up for you.
Correct.
And then say, God bless it, because you know what? It's going to show up later.
nothing is wasted. I just wonder, Dr. Jeanette, if you ever used your left hand for something, did you panic a nun coming in and hitting you in the dental office, perhaps?
Oh, heck no. And you know what? I never cleaned any nuns on nuns' teeth either. And not one was a nun. How about
that?
Isn't that something?
They were afraid enough not to show up. Yeah. They thought if she remembers me from school, I'm dead here.
Absolutely, they knew enough not to show up. You know, I had thrown that out into the cosmos.
Oh, I love it.
Well, David, I think your book is absolutely wonderful, and I think it's just having this conversation is such a delight about religion, because religion is not about I'm going to stand up here and you can't come to heaven or you're not worthy. And I think that is our drive home message. Yes.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. In fact, that's the point of my books, my blogs, my life is, you know, let's laugh, let's smile, and let's get connected to God.
Absolutely. Well, David, thank you so much for joining us. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
I sure can, Dr. Jeanette. And let me just say thank you for the opportunity. I've had a blast this afternoon getting to talk with you. The places to go, one is my website is www.davidwaddell.biz. That's DavidWaddell.biz. The other place is facebook.com/justlikebiblicalpeople, without any spaces, just like biblical people. That is my Facebook page. It's titled Characters of the Bible. My writing seems to stay on characters, and even a fourth idea I have is going to be more of a character-based study as well, and I guess that's because I've been a character all my life.
Mm-hmm.
But the website has an email, but it is in trouble right now, so charactersofthebible@gmail.com is an email that people can reach me at if they want to seek further questions or even open discussions with me. Would be glad to discuss any of these topics or issues with them.
Absolutely. Well, it was great speaking to you, David, you know, because I think I just want to lighten up the story. You know, I can tell you honestly, you know, I have sang and played the organ for so many Catholic masses in Latin in my day. I was so ticked off the day that they turned the priest around and they brought in that guitar. I'm like, what is the difference here? It took all the mystery out of the whole thing. And now we're going to talk in English because you want to know about it. It's sort of like, weren't you paying attention? Oh, good grief.
I love it. Well, Dr. Jeanette, thank you so much. It's been an honor and a treat, and thank you for your ministry. Thank you for what you do in helping people just in their own healing and in their own comfort of life.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you so much for being with us.
You bet.
If you'd like to find out more information about David Waddell, again, his book is Worship Wars, The Kings Lead the Battle to Spirit and Truth. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information and go directly to his website. And it truly is about being able to be light of the story, of the engagement of the dogma, and be able to realize that faith, love, compassion, grace, hope, and faith are truly the cores of your spirit and how you can connect with God or that which is the energy source that you currently are being able to connect with. It is all about the human experience and make light of our life because that's what it's all about. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.